Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, guys. It's America, and thanks for tuning in to the next episode of In the Open. Teresa isn't with us today, but I have a special guest with me. Say hello.
Hey, everyone. It's Sachin Doshi.
So if more likely you've been listening to us for a while, which I hope you have, you know, we bring on different guests at different times, and we wanted to bring Sachin in because he's one of the members of our MHA team. So I want to give Sachin an opportunity to let him tell you a little bit more about himself and not so much what he does here at MHA, but about himself. So Sachin, take it away.
Sure. Yeah. I joined MHA about 5 years ago, which is a little hard to believe. Right after college, I was very kind of directionally headed towards medical school for a long time and then had a crisis of conscience and really wasn't sure what to do with myself, and then found MHA out of the blue and honestly have found a whole new family here. And it's been amazing. And I get to work with really cool people like America.
Aw, shucks. Well, that's awesome. I am glad that you are here. So today's episode, what we're going to talk about is feeling lonely in a crowd, which I think a lot of people have dealt with and deal with, I think, because I sometimes feel that way. So have you ever felt that way, Sacha?
All the time.
All the time. So what is that feeling like? And like, what situations do you find yourself where you're like, what?
So it's funny, when I slacked you about this earlier, being like, this would be a cool podcast idea, it was because I was feeling lonely in a crowd at that time. And only thing I could think to do was like, look at my phone and be like, I should turn this into something productive so it looks like I'm being busy.
Were you like at an event?
I was at the most low pressure thing ever. I volunteer with a board in my free time, and we had gotten a few of us together for the first time to meet in person because we noticed a lot of us were local. And so it's all these people my age who are just getting to know each other for the first time, hitting it off with people. And we're just kind of sitting in a circle. And I'm like, I feel really alone right now.
Okay.
These are people who share the same interests as me, come from the same background.
Okay.
It's just really wild.
So what's interesting, though, about what you're saying is in another episode that we've done with Teresa, we talk about this idea of, you know, you as an individual trying to find a connection and finding people that are like yourself.
Yeah.
With the same interests, things like that, so that you can have an opportunity to maybe connect. But you're on the other side of that, because the people in this particular situation were similar to you.
Very much.
All there because you're all vested in the same idea.
Right.
But you still felt completely kind of disconnected.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm South Asian. This nonprofit tries to raise awareness about South Asian mental health. We're all there because of that shared interest. We're all South Asian. Mm-hmm. We're all about the same age. None of us know each other. I don't know, maybe the most low pressure environment we could have been. It was
But it wasn't really low pressure. I mean, meeting new people, even if you've talked on email or via text or anything, you're still meeting somebody in person. Yeah. And I think that changes the dynamic, because mm-hmm. now you're like vulnerable in front of somebody, and I think that may cause some anxiety for many people.
Yeah. And I think there's a weird thing that almost happens when you look back at it, as I did a couple of days later. You try to see it from the other side of, you know, the other point of view. All these people who have never really met you are still trying to figure out your vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they do, they just don't know how you're feeling that day. While you might think, hey, no one's including me in this conversation, I feel really left out, and you're not really making an effort to speak up because of mm-hmm. that, they might be thinking, hey, Sachin's not really seeming so talkative right
yeah.
now. Maybe he's not in a mood to talk right now. Let's give him some space. And so it
yeah,
starts so to create
it works
this cycle,
yeah. right? Yeah. You're like, he's kind of quiet. Let's not be too pushy.
Right.
If you talk about that one experience, when you think about like broader kind of experiences that you've had outside of that, is the feeling of feeling lonely in that kind of, in a group of people, still something that can exist aside from that one example?
Yeah. I mean, I think honestly, it can exist even with people that you know really well,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, the difference here was we were all getting to know each other. I feel it less often when I'm with people who have known me for years, but it
okay.
happens.
Describe what that feeling of loneliness feels like.
I think it's very particular to people. I think anyone who's listening to this, if you can think back to a time when you felt lonely in a crowd, if it's been recent or a while back, I think so much of it is defined by the narrative that you tell yourself in the moment. Mm-hmm. So in that moment, I was very low on mental energy. I was like mentally and physically exhausted at the time. Okay. I didn't have a lot of my kind of normal support patterns in place, or the normal kind of thoughts that I would, you know, go to. The way that I was feeling in the moment was, no one here wants to talk to me. I'm the odd one out. Mm-hmm. I'm not, if I can't connect with these people, then who can I connect with? There's something wrong with me. And you start to see that whole kind of cascading.
Yeah. The structure. Negative thought.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. The little monster we talk about. I'm trying to think of a moment where I felt lonely. And what I come back to is like years ago where, you know, I was in between this place of, you know, I had gotten divorced. I was like looking for new relationships and like being amongst friends and family. And I was like, I don't feel connected in any way. Mm. And when you talk about the feelings, you know, you're talking about this idea of you weren't in the best like mental space. So right. Then that adds to the anxiety that you're feeling because you're not at 100%. Right.
Right.
So I think back to this moment, I was like, was I in a place where I was just a naysayer, you know, because that's what happens. Mm. Our negative thoughts begin to impact our functioning. So everything that we think at one point when we're in a good place, we're like, oh, those are good qualities that you have. And you're like, no, you know, you introvert, go sit by the, you know, by yourself in the corner. And it's like, come on. So there's a mix of emotions, I think, that happen for many people, but honing in on trying to figure out why it was that you felt that way, I think is very important.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that you said, one of the key things is, if I can't connect with these people, like who can I connect with? Mm-hmm. These are my people.
Yeah.
Right. So did you ever share your thoughts with the people that were there with you?
So no. And that's actually one of the things that I was going to say, I wish I had. Something that I think is so, I don't know if I've heard it on this podcast or somewhere else, is so interesting about this specific type of loneliness, as opposed to kind of the more general stuff that we've talked about, or that you and Therese have talked about, is there's like a very specific, it's a very specific type of loneliness, and there's a very specific way that you can address it that might not be easy in the moment, but is actually a lot easier than, you know, chronic loneliness. And that is just to be the first person to say, you know, especially if you feel comfortable there, hey guys, I'm feeling kind of left out of the conversation. And that sounds really weird when I say it there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you have to word it that way, but just saying, hey, I'm feeling a little left out right now, or even just trying to bring up a different conversational piece will signal to the people around you that, hey, I don't need my space. I'm actually feeling a little left out. There's a cycle here that we can break very easily.
I think it would be very hard for people to say, hey, yeah, I'm feeling left out.
It was for me.
Even for me, that I'm kind of in your face, and like people that have been listening, you know that I'm kind of more in your face. I would never be like, hey, I'm feeling left out. What's interesting though is I wonder if there is an opportunity for you to think through, not just you, like the individual, right? Yeah. When you're in the situation too, if it is about finding an opportunity that you can maybe share something about yourself that you're comfortable with enough so that the people around you engage with whatever,
yeah,
you know, you're kind of throwing on the table.
Yeah.
But I think back to like the movies, you know, that where people do that and then it's like you drop something crickets on the table and it's like, oh, crickets.
Yeah.
Okay. And so then you like go back into yourself, you know, like a little turtle, and you're like, forget it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to shut down.
I think one of the things that's helpful for me, or for people like me, is to, I think, ahead of time have kind of two or three go-tos that are really easy, ones that you're comfortable with. So one that I try to do a little bit more is be better about making eye contact with people that can help signal, hey, I want to be part of this conversation. And that's easy enough to say now. That can also be hard in the situation. Another one that I like to do sometimes is just to ask people, you know, get up and say that you're getting some water and ask people if they want water. Tiny thing like that has nothing to do with the conversation that's happening. But again, a little way of kind of subtly signaling, no, I want to be part of whatever's happening here. I'm present in this. I agree. It doesn't have to be as straightforward as, you know, hey, please include me.
Yeah.
That's hard.
You know, I read an article the other day where this couple, what they decided to do was, you know, in a relationship, in an intimate relationship, sometimes it's hard to communicate what you want. In any relationship, it's hard to communicate what you want.
Sure.
But even more so in an intimate relationship where you're trying to figure out what they need, what you need, or whatever. And this couple had decided to, like, forego all this kind of guesswork and just be upfront and be like, I need attention. And I was like, that is fabulous. And when I said to my boyfriend, I said, look, I read this article and they said this, you know, that instead of like going through all these motions, we would just say, I need attention. And he's like, I think that would work for you. And I was like, dude, I think it makes sense because that's what you're saying. That's what you're signaling when you're in this type of environment where you're just like, should I say something? Should I not say something? And your brain is working against you, right?
No.
Because it's that naysayer that's just like, whatever you're going to say is stupid, so don't say it. So then you revert back into yourself, right? And it's just like, oh my God. Sometimes I find when I go to events and things like that, where the idea is that you're supposed to talk to people and network and be friendly and inviting, I'm in that space where I'm just like, one, these people don't know me.
Right.
Right. So how do you engage with people that have no idea who you are? And then one of the things that Teresa has said in the past is that she, you know, randomly when she finds somebody that maybe she can like connect with, she'll be like, do you want to be my friend? As kind of an icebreaker. And as adults, I think that's a really great icebreaker because we don't ever engage in that type of relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's another, so there's a piece of it that came up in therapy a while back with, so my therapist is a pretty quiet guy generally, but not so in the same way as me. And so he was sharing something that works for him, and it's not a technique. It's more just a sense of coming to peace with the type of person that you are or the type of, you know, or being more comfortable in your own skin. And for that, for him, one of those things is realizing that he's not someone who's going to be super talkative in a crowd, and that's fine. When he does say something, he focuses on making it something that's valuable to the conversation. So he might not say anything for like 30 minutes. And then when he says something, it's like one sentence that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And then he just goes back to, you know, to sitting and being super comfortable.
Yeah. That takes time though.
It does.
That's a skill.
Right. But I think the thing to take away from it, even if that's not something you can pick up overnight, is, you know, you don't have to be the most talkative person there. And even if you're feeling left out, you don't have to necessarily try to play the same role that everyone else around you is playing, because that's hard when you have extroverts and introverts and, you know, people with different social strengths and different social weaknesses.
So you're kind of talking about a couple of things. So one, you're one of the things that you mentioned is finding kind of go-to
shortcuts.
Yeah, that's a good word. Little shortcuts that can help you either get more involved or signal to the others that, hey, I'm here, I'm present, I want to be part of this. So you kind of have to think through what that would look like for you. But then the other side of that is also understanding and feeling comfortable with yourself and in your personality and knowing what you want to function like, what, you know, the atmosphere that you want to, one, be in, and then the person that you are within that atmosphere. Because I think back to this idea, like, I think Teresa has laughed at me before when I've said this, and my best friends have laughed at me when I say, I think I'm an introvert, okay, where I keep to myself, you know.
No.
But other people are like, are you out of your mind? Like, you're an extrovert. You talk to people, you can't talk to people. And it's like, I can do that. But at the core, I'd rather just be like with one person, you know, just hanging out, having a real good conversation.
Yeah.
So that's the idea of really knowing yourself,
right,
to be able to then feel comfortable.
And I say that second piece because I think, at least for me and a couple people I've talked to, people who tend to experience this kind of loneliness in a crowd, I think in the moment it can feel a lot of pressure sometimes where you're like, not only do I need to be part of this conversation, I also need to be exceptional in some part of this, in some way. I need to be the funniest person here, the coolest person here, the person that everyone's like, I can't just be part of this. And I think that can create a lot of pressure in the moment. So I think thinking about these things can make it a little, it can help ease a little bit of that up and say, it's okay to just be part of this. It's okay to just jump in and ask someone a question instead of feeling like I need to make a joke or anything like that.
You know, some people, I think, go more towards the side of what you're saying. How do I make myself unique enough in this situation or any situation so that people feel, oh, look, that's Sachin. You know, he's XYZ. There's another component to this where, and you mentioned it a little bit at the beginning when we were chatting, where you're talking about this idea, you know, this is what we believe and how we're perceiving the world. But the others in the group may also be feeling similar issues and may not feel comfortable in saying that. So I wonder if another thing that can happen is just saying, you know, something like, am I the only one that's feeling like we're not all connecting? You know, could that be something that could happen? It's a little bit of a, I'll call it a slap in the face, where it's kind of waking you up to whatever reality you're experiencing.
Right. It's a little, I think it's a little hard. I would have a little trouble saying it, but it keeps going back to this idea of letting the other people around you know, indirect or direct, that you want to be part of whatever's going on here. And I think there's a element to that that's also realizing some people are really good at looking like they're very comfortable in situations. And when you're in situations like this, it can be really easy to think that everyone around you is super comfortable. In the situation I was talking about where everyone was just getting to know each other, that almost definitely wasn't the case. But in the moment, it really felt like it. It really felt like it. Like I was the only one there who wasn't comfortable, who was completely out of my element.
I wonder if there's an opportunity there for you to go back to these folks, because you've communicated with them and interacted with them more since then, right?
Right.
And talk about that experience and see if others had a similar experience, because that would be interesting to know.
So I did. I actually went back and talked to a couple of them afterwards, and years of therapy helped me get to the point where I was like, you know, I actually felt really uncomfortable at the tail end of this. Maybe I was just exhausted after a long weekend or whatever, but, you know, I shared how I felt, and both of the people I talked to about that told me they were feeling really similarly, which I couldn't have pictured in the moment. It seemed like they were the center of conversation. And I think it's just the idea that this manifests differently for different people.
Yeah. I wonder too, where some folks may retreat into themselves, you know,
right.
Others try to make up for whatever it is that they're feeling, the anxiety and everything kind of like all together by being more talkative, being more gregarious, and you're just like in your face, and it's like, wow. And they do look like more comfortable and like they're the center of attention.
I think everyone to some extent has a social mask that they put on.
Oh yeah, completely.
Yeah.
I think there's this idea too that where one thing I always go back to is this, in a room of people, you know, because I do presentations and things all the time, where you're like, does anybody have a question? And nobody raises their hand.
Yeah.
Right? Why? Because most people do not feel comfortable in calling attention to themselves. But when somebody does, you see like 10 other people in the room, like they're shaking their heads. You know, that's the same question I had. Because it is hard to put yourself out there. But working on figuring out also what may get you to the place of not feeling comfortable, I think is important. So if you're talking about, you know, you're not at the best mental place, you're like physically and mentally exhausted, is it the best place to put yourself in meeting new people? If you have to, like you kind of have to just suck it up and be present. But if there's an opportunity for you to say, no, I can't do this right now because I just can't, then you also have to create that space for yourself and be comfortable in allowing yourself to say, I can't participate in this.
Yeah. I think it's easier also with people that you've known for a while to, you know, at least with my friends, they know me well enough and I've had these conversations where I'm like, you know what? Sometimes I'm just not going to want to talk.
Yeah.
And if I'm doing like A, B, or C, like, please either say something or ask me if I'm doing all right. Or like, I don't know. It's not even to the point of like secret signals or anything. It's just that I feel comfortable sharing those things with them ahead of time. So they know what to look out for that tells them Sachin actually doesn't want to talk, or like Sachin's just feeling left out, or you know,
like what are they looking for?
It gets a little nebulous after like 4 or 5 years, right? Because they just, you kind of get a vibe of someone,
okay,
right? So I'll like, you know, one of my friends, if depending on how much eye contact she's making, I will have a better idea of whether she's feeling at ease in the situation or not so much. So I actually make more eye contact if she's feeling a little, you know, awkward in the situation.
Okay.
So it's like the little things that you pick up. I think if you are someone who tends to be more attentive to those things about yourself and other people, it can be helpful to share those with the people who, you know, you tend to spend the most time around, because I think that helps them be better. You know, no one can read minds, but that helps them be better friends or better family members or, you know, or whatever.
I'm sure that I give off cues. I don't think I've ever paid attention to.
But you're good at being like, when I get in the morning, please don't talk to me before I have the coffee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and a lot of people are like that. It's a, you know, one super simple example, but.
No, but you're right. Like, one of the things I think I tend to do, because Teresa and I always talk about the little monster on your shoulder about anger, because we tend to go to anger fairly easily.
Yeah.
Is picking up the cues of, like, if I look very focused, it's because I'm focused and little things kind of irk me. So I know my boyfriend he definitely is like, yeah, I'm not talking to her right now. She's like in another place. And I think sometimes when we get into these situations where you're just a part of groups of people, not big, but, you know, even small, and you're just kind of like, do I even want to really be present here?
No.
That's
a really good question.
You know, and sometimes I think we push ourselves to be present, which is both good and bad. You know, it can, because you're not necessarily certain. It could be for the better, right? That you're actually making yourself participate, but it could also be bad, because why are you making yourself do something you don't really want to do?
I was thankfully this happens a lot less often now than in college. I was at a party a few weeks ago where I didn't know anyone. It was a housewarming, so I felt a little obligated to go, but not that much. I didn't know the person that well. So I show up, and again, I realize I was absolutely right. I don't know anyone. And like 30 minutes go by, and, you know, I'm realizing I'm really not having a great time.
Yeah.
But it's exactly what you said. I felt this pressure to try anyway. If I had stepped back a moment and thought, why am I here? Do I really want anything out of this? I would have realized I'd really much rather be at home.
Yeah.
You know? Or with friends, or, you know.
So in that span of 30 minutes, like, what you're, like, in this space, like, one foot in the door, the other out, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what did you do?
So, you know, obviously talked to the person that I knew. They introduced me to a couple friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we made small talk. It was frustratingly small talk.
Yeah.
Tried to join group conversations. Realized again, it's really hard when everyone around you knows each other.
Yeah.
Because I don't blame people. You kind of gravitate towards the people that you know, right? You form, you know, you kind of form your little circles, and then there's nothing wrong with that. But it's a very uphill battle. And I think your question about asking yourself why you're fighting that in the moment is a really good one, because a lot of times it's just like, maybe I just want to fit in with these people, but then actually, no, I don't. I'm just doing it because I feel like I should.
Yeah, I used to go to a lot of events where, like, the whole idea was, oh, look, young professionals, you know?
Right.
And I remember, like, having the same thought. Like, I could totally be at home right now, completely comfortable with my dog next to me. And it's like, no, you need to make new friends. You need to make new connections. And this is why you're here, right? So, like, that self-talk would be like, be present. Try to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
And even if it's a mini goal of saying, just talk to one person. So we get into this other aspect, you know, where people may be functioning with a lot of, like, social anxiety and not sure of what they're doing. But when you get back to this idea of connecting with people, we sometimes have to put ourselves in uncomfortable situations so that we can then ask ourselves really difficult questions, you know, not unsafe, uncomfortable,
right?
Where you're saying, why am I so uncomfortable here, right? Is it because I think I don't belong?
Right.
Or is it because these people don't know who I am?
There's a piece that you said about, you know, do the people around me understand who I am? And I think reflecting on that and everything that you're bringing in when you're coming to, you know, a group conversation or some kind of group setting is really important. Like, I always think, you know, you and I come from cultural backgrounds that very much expect people to be gregarious and outgoing, you know, almost to an extreme. When I'm sitting with like a big group of family members, even if they're close or extended, but a lot of times I don't want to be there at all. And I love these people, right? I absolutely love them. I've seen them. I know it's been 5 years. I've said hi and I'm like, great. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm done now. There's an element to that, to recognizing all the kind of, you know, ways that maybe the background that you have might be placing like external pressures on you, but then not even just your cultural background. It can also be your personal experiences. I think one of the reasons that I sometimes tend to feel real lonely in a crowd is I feel exactly like you said, that I don't belong, that the experiences that I've had, even in that situation I was talking about earlier, make me different enough from everyone around me that I'll never be able to relate to them, or more disastrously, they'll never be able to relate to me. And that can be really hard to overcome. But also, I think we have a tendency to blow that, maybe not out of proportion, but certainly to exaggerate it in the moment.
Yeah. I think back to this idea, like culturally, I'm put into these situations where, like, if you're invited to a party or something and it's like family,
yeah,
you're expected to say hello to everybody that's in that room, right? You know them or you don't, you're saying hello.
Right.
But when I have been in situations where the room is predominantly white,
yeah,
people don't do that. That's not an expected thing. So I feel like I should be saying hello to all these people, but I've had to learn like how to balance that and be like, hey, so now what I tend to do is like find a couple of people, and I'm really, and this is, you know, years of me like learning.
Right.
I just go up to be like, hey, I'm America.
Yeah.
I'm from wherever. Right. Sometimes people are just like, oh, okay, damn, this person is talking to me. Because more than likely, they're feeling the same way.
Yeah.
Understanding, like, your cultural worldview, I think, is so important to figuring out, what am I doing in this space? Because the pressures, I think, are very unique depending on the situation in which you're in.
Right.
Especially because you're a male, right? Mm-hmm. And there may be certain expectations within your culture of what that's supposed to look like and how gregarious and entertaining you are for the people around you and keeping them involved. But, you know, for us in coming from Bolivia and all that, like the woman is just supposed to be quiet, not really out there.
Yeah.
So I'm on the other spectrum where I'm just like, dude, you're Bolivian. No, you're not Bolivian. You're more American than Bolivian. You know, it's like you have to find a balance.
Yeah.
But you're talking about picking up on social cues, you know, and in a group of people, there may be somebody that is a little less participatory. And if I would have been in the room with you when you were talking about being with this group of people, I think that I would have picked up on that and kind of been like, hey, Sachin, tell us a little bit about yourself. Yep. Because I know that I felt that way before, and it just helped to have somebody like lend a hand to pull me out and be like, hey, you're present. I see you. Right.
And having been on the other side, I guess I've been on both sides of that a few times, and now more on that kind of like extending that hand out, being at MHA and being around amazing people. The other person, when you're doing that, is so thankful.
Yeah, and you can see it in their face. Oh my God, you see me.
It's such an amazing feeling. Yeah. It really is.
These are things, though, that I think carry over from our childhood and our adolescence. I think in my experience, that's what it is. I think Teresa would say the same, because we had this whole chat about like being lonely and isolated and not thinking nobody likes you and things like that. But we've talked about a lot of things that can hopefully help people understand that if you are experiencing this, you're not the only one. There's more than likely somebody else in the space around you that is feeling the same way. So finding ways to connect maybe with that person, having those shortcuts in the back of your mind of what you can do to help somebody, to help yourself and maybe help somebody else out, right?
Yeah.
Understanding yourself and being comfortable enough with yourself to figure out what it is that you need. And then really thinking and asking yourself, how present do I want to be here? Am I in the best space to be present?
Right.
And then understanding maybe any cultural components that may come into that, and lending a hand.
And I think to on that last one, having really patience, which is something you hear all the time, but I think there's like people who tend to feel lonely in a crowd more often than other, or more often than not, I think tend to also experience social anxiety, mm-hmm. tend to also maybe not have been the most naturally socially adept growing up. And as you said, that can persist, and it's okay to be patient with yourself and give yourself time to say, these are skills that other people picked up much earlier than I did, and they've been working on them for years. Yeah. And it's okay for me to start now, or have just started and be working on them now, because it's a process and there's nothing wrong with that.
I think those are awesome points. Patience is key. Mm. It's hard to do. Have patience with
yourself.
It's
so hard.
But that's something that we can work towards.
Yeah.
Right? Well, guys, we hope that you have found some of this helpful to you. If you're struggling, know that you're not alone. And, you know, as we always say when we sign off, keep fighting in the open. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everyone.